Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Like the sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. All there was drama in the FA Cup and late goals galore everywhere. Welcome, everybody.
Willkommen.
How are we, chaps?
Very good. I enjoyed the weekend of comebacks.
Yeah.
Come back with my CD collection of Bob Marley. Come back to what you know.
Was that Pato Banton?
That was Pato. Or was it Buju Banton? Which of the Bantons was it?
I think it was Pato.
Right, and you'd be 40. Yeah.
Does it matter? It was just Banton. Peter, do your embrace impression.
Come back.
That's fine.
I'm for the teenagers.
FA Cup.
Yeah.
Wasn't really. I suppose Wolves beating Man United is a cup set.
It's not. I don't think it is.
Not a huge one. It sort of is on a technicality. In a technicality. But
let's have
that,
a show of hands. Was it a cup set or not?
Yes.
If you agree it was, put your hand up.
Uh-huh. Yep. And 51.8% says it was.
No. The cameras can tell. You were only the person to put your hand up, Marcus. So it wasn't a cup set.
Oh, there nearly was at the Den. High dramas at the Den.
Very high drama.
Oh, an incredibly late comeback aided with a bad error from David Martin in goal for Millwall.
Yeah, that was his face afterwards. It was just like he was giving it a cheeky pat on the bum, wasn't it, the ball? Like just
You get in there.
Yeah.
It's just the way he sort of like went, oh, no, immediately.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. You know, if you're 2-0 up in an FA Cup game with 2 minutes left, you've got to close that shit.
Yeah.
Close it out.
Yeah.
I'm
struggling to see what he was trying to do.
Well, keeper.
Yeah.
I think he got his bearings wrong. I think he thought it was going wide.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sickener, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he could have, I suppose he was hoping that he would be the hero in the penalty shootout, but alas, that was not to be either.
Excellent penalties.
I know, there were good penalties. He got close to a few. Surprisingly, Glenn Murray hit the bar, but you know, sometimes it can happen. But
yeah, I mean, it nearly didn't go to penalties. Had the offside decision been correctly given in Brighton's favour, Neil Harris will go potty.
Yeah, he will. Show that on the big screen, Neil.
When the assistant referee got the incorrect call, it was Sean Massey, I believe.
Yeah.
Any word on Richard Keyes?
No, he didn't pipe up.
He didn't comment on that.
No, he didn't pipe up.
Okay.
No. But although Richard Keyes,
has he learned?
He doesn't do it on a hot mic.
Has he learned his lesson?
Richard Keyes on BeIN Sport did do a link last week with his trousers rolled up like Zidane did.
Did he?
For a bit of banter.
Little joke.
Just a bit of fun.
How hairy
were the legs? Did we get a peek?
He wasn't that close up.
He might have had the old laser surgery all over
he could have done.
His body.
The agony.
Well, it's what he does. It's what he does to deliver us the biggest football show on the planet.
And there was no... All the goals as they go in.
It's the biggest football show on the planet because that's where everyone streams from. That's where all the illegal streams come from. Be in sport.
If that game had been at Brighton, and we'll talk a bit more about this in a wee bit, I presume, with the Swansea game, that would have been the VAR would have been in action then. The VAR happens at Premier League grounds, which is absolutely ludicrous. Yeah. It is ludicrous.
Was Shane Ferguson sent off right at the end? Was it a sending off? Do you know what was funny was because obviously it was a little bit tricky for maybe a few people didn't see it. Jermaine Genus being one of them, going, "Oh, it seems a bit." And you saw the replay. That's a definite red.
Neil Harris was fuming.
It was like someone going, "No, I think he's innocent." And then they show them a very comprehensive documentary.
I changed that. Yeah. Neil Harris after the game on the radio post match interview, he said, "He's our best penalty taker. He's our best penalty taker." Yeah. It was a moment of madness.
Oh, he's annoyed at Shane Ferguson, presumably.
Yeah.
He's annoyed at the referee. I know you're about to send him off. We're about to have a penalty shootout and you're ruining the game.
Did he learn that at Newcastle, Pete? He's an ex-Newcastle player.
It was so petulant, wasn't it? It was so just clearly an expression of frustration with how the game had gone.
Yeah.
You can see it in his face. Mm. You know, it's one where the sort of body language tells you the whole story of why he's done that.
Should have gone in on his own keeper.
I was convinced Millwall were going to go through. Their record against top flight teams in the FA Cup at home is so good. Mm. They started so well. They just had to close it out and they couldn't do it. It was high drama. It's good for the FA Cup and all the rest of it. And Brighton, you know, good on them for getting to the semi-final.
They're not a team who regularly appear in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
So, but at the same time, you know, for Millwall to put themselves in that position. I mean, they didn't score their second goal until about 10 minutes from the end.
That's right, 79, I think.
Yeah. I mean, 88 minutes, they were 2-0 up.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Oh, God, absolutely good.
And they play Man City now, won't they, Brighton?
Brighton, and then they play Man City in the next round, who beat Swansea, of course.
A stir of execution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just when you're looking at the underdogs, they just couldn't hold on, essentially. Yeah. And Swansea, they went 2-0 up, and when they scored the second after 29 minutes, which was a great goal.
It's too early.
Yeah, I thought to myself, oh, they've got them going for a bit, and then, of course, they realise how long they've been
absolutely hammered there, Swansea. By poor officiating. Ooh. I mean, if that game was you can understand the argument that the game would have been different at the Etihad, and I understand why people would say that. If the game was at the Etihad and it played out as it played out, they wouldn't have lost the game.
Yeah.
Because the penalty wasn't a penalty, and VAR's going to overturn that. And Aguero's offside for the winner.
Yeah, I visibly offside as well. It's a very clear one that. And I feel like, sorry, Marcus, but what's the solution to this? Because this is obviously the first season when we've had VAR involved. The clubs that are relegated from the Premier League now, they have that technology at their grounds. Do they keep hold of that?
So if it was last season, they would have VAR because Swansea would have been in the Premier League.
But if Swansea had VAR from the Premier League, because presumably it's installed at the stadium, then
think about it, we should say
by the way that the reason why it wasn't there because it was just used at Premier League grounds in case anyone's unsure. Yeah.
So if Swansea were in the Premier League this season, right, and then got relegated, they'd have the VAR at the ground. Would that be taken away next year? Does it stay at the stadium?
But you bring the cameras to with Sky.
It's not permanently installed.
It's just a load of cameras, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just what you can watch on the television, like just slowed down replays from a couple of angles. That's what VAR is.
The VAR system's got is in the goal, is it not?
No. That's the goal line technology.
Right, okay.
So this is different. So basically, they set up extra cameras to provide angles they need to make VAR decisions. And I can understand, say, for example, if, you know, a non-league team gets to the quarterfinal and it's at their ground, they may not have the room or the technology or the stuff.
Or the vantage point is more important.
So that's fine. I get that. I still don't think it should be applied if it can't be applied across the board.
No, I agree. And so
that's a different argument. But for this, Swansea City Stadium, as you've alluded to there,
it is a Premier League award.
Is a stadium of good quality, and it's also fairly new. And it would have been set up and built with that in mind, certainly with cameras to show highlights and to show live footage. I mean, the fact that they can show the whole game
from 100
different angles with replays anyway.
Just watch it on the BBC.
It's just go over and watch the BBC. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Graham Potter has done an all right job at Swansea. They don't concede a huge amount of goals. I know it's a competitive league and they found it tough. They've gone 2-0 up against Man City in the FA Cup. And
they
deserved
it.
And as Marcus says, the second goal was a beauty. Mm. And they've been undone here by poor refereeing decisions, which haven't been underpinned by the technology that the FA made a huge fanfare about at the start of the season. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
You would think that, you know, this is their flagship competition. So presumably they should provide that for every round of it. I mean, at the beginning, obviously, that's a huge undertaking, but perhaps past a certain round.
Third round. It should be. Third round when everybody gets in.
It's in every ground for a particular round, or it's not. You cannot do this halfway house business. Mm. It's just piss poor.
And also, if you're going to have haves and have-nots in the FA Cup, you could scale up the amount of cameras you have, and the referee just gets a small amount of information if it's a non-league ground or a smaller ground where you don't probably have the vantage points that you have. But you can still install cameras there. Cameras are cheap. Broadcast equipment is cheap relative to what it used to be and a lot more portable than it used to be. I guess, you know, you need a truck with, you know, two or three officials outside the ground just, you know, watching
it can
the
all be done. I think it can all be done centrally. So
I guess it could be done in NFL.
I think it's all done from like New York City, maybe.
So you could have a big kind of like CTU, like Jack Bauer style, everyone, analysts just analysing games. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
You could have it. Well, the thing is, I know what some people say, well, I don't get what the big problem is because it's the same for both teams, whether you have it or not. But, and I understand that point, but the fact is, if you create this, as you say, have and have nots, and it's there for some and it's not there for others, it will cause conversations that we don't want because it's a bit of a negative vibe.
Well, Swansea have been effed over. Wolverhampton Wanderers, I know they won the match, but I mean, there could have been situations there just because they happen to be a Premier League.
Or Brighton. Brighton scored a perfectly good goal. Mm. Now, because Millwall are the underdog, I'm sure we're all sort of going, oh, just as well as not VAR there. Yeah. But it was unfair.
Yeah.
If those four teams we've played each other there, if they come out of the hat, out of the bowl, drawn out in a different order, and Brighton were at home and Man City were at home, the outcomes of the decisions made by the referees would have been different, and that can't be right.
Exactly, and for that point, you're spot on. Guardiola said the penalty was really lucky, but you need it, especially when you're in four competitions. He was quite sorry he was Guardiola to Swansea, but he is...
Well, it's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, Guardiola was saying that he was concerned about his players going off to international duty, and he said, you know, but they should enjoy it, but hopefully we won't get any injuries. And he said, I'm just so proud and just buzzing that we're still in four competitions going into...
Yeah.
I think, will they be going into April? Certainly.
Well, it's three, isn't it, because they've won one.
Of course, Roger.
Although, I guess if anyone's still in the League Cup this season, it isn't
they're still in it until...
True, they just got no opponents.
That's right. And he's right, too. They've been magnificent. Although, oddly, my prediction on Thursday when I said Spurs will beat Man City in the Champions League next round, they've drawn each other.
Yeah.
So I have to stick with that. I've got a feeling, Spurs fans. I think they're going to go.
Is this because you believe Guardiola to be a bald fraud?
Yeah, that's the Twitter dialogue that these days.
Yeah, not a fraud. I think he's proved his worth.
And he is bald.
I'm not arguing that.
There's no question about that. Don't need VAR for that.
No.
Is he a fraud bald though?
He probably could grow out some hair.
Yeah,
he's a genuine baldy as far as I can.
Maybe that's what they mean on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they do.
He could have hair.
I don't think they know what they mean.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've interpreted one way, you've interpreted the other. So there we are.
I feel sorry for Swansea.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Of course
because,
you do.
Because Daniel James gave him a lot of hassle. That's the great thing about football. It's a great level of pace. Mm, you could talk about all these great defenders and how much they cost and £50 million for fullbacks and, you know, Laporte, how much money he cost. And pace just frightens.
Absolutely.
Defenders.
I also really feel for Bursant Selina because he scored such a good goal.
Mm.
And obviously he was recently sort of
the penalty
very,
against
very
Brom.
Notable for slicing that penalty so terribly. And, you know, had a chance to write some more positive headlines, but sadly not.
The moment which I think got me off my seat to the highest degree on the weekend, I think, was that Nordfeldt double save.
Oh, it's brilliant.
When,
with the one with his feet.
Jesus with the header. And then you thought, oh, it's going in.
So unlucky with the penalty as well.
But the two players got in the way of each other, didn't they, sort of?
They sort of, I know what you mean.
But yeah, and the penalty was really unlucky. I mean, obviously Aguero missed it and then it hits the back of the guy's foot. I mean.
So weird.
Swansea have gone pretty well there, given that everything's stacked against them.
But then we know what it's like. When any side wins a treble or the treble or anything like that, you need a slice of luck. The obvious one...
Liverpool when they won three... Cups.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When Man United... No, they did. When Man United won the treble in 99, you know, Bergkamp puts the penalty away against Schmeichel. I mean, it's not lucky because Schmeichel's made a good save there.
Yeah.
But you get away with it. You get a break,
yeah,
as it were. And Man City got their breaks there, didn't they?
They did, absolutely.
And they took them.
They got their breaks whatever. Let's not go into it.
All right. Wolves beat Manchester United 2-1. It was a great win for Wolves. They're surely second favourites now for the Cup.
I'd like to see them do it.
Yeah. It's their first ever Cup semi-final in 21 years. Fairly drab match until Wolves turned on the style in the second half.
Yeah.
Jimenez and Jota with the goals. I do like Jimenez.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I think he's a great striker. He holds the ball up well. He can create. Now he's scoring. He didn't score that much, if I remember correctly, at the start of the season. I think he's got 12 league goals, something like that, this season so far. But certainly in recent weeks and months, he's been scoring them. They want to make him a permanent signing because he's currently on loan from Benfica, and his Benfica contract expires in the summer of 2021. But Wolves have surely got the money to keep him there. I mean, if they finish top half, which surely they will, and they get to an FA Cup final, if they can beat Watford, and dare we suggest even win the competition. You know,
yeah. What an incredible season that would be. Whatever happens now, it's going to be an incredible season for them. Because I think Diego Jota and Ruben Neves were getting a lot of the plaudits at the start of the season, but Jimenez has really sort of come to the fore as well. And it's nice to see him starting to get that credit because he always looked very, very good player. I am partially gutted to see Man United go out just because I love the way that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says coops. Still in the cups.
Can we? Well, why don't you give him a call and say, can you refer to the Champions League as the European Cup? Would that be?
Yeah, maybe he might do that.
I wonder if this is a bit of a thing to be worried about for Man United fans, because I felt that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got a little bit out-tacticked in the second half, and I feel like he didn't really know what to do. And although Rashford, the score goes down as 2-1. Rashford really did a cosmetic job on the scoreline. Yeah.
Another late goal.
How many late goals
were there?
Loads, yeah.
Well, every Premier League game, I think?
There was loads, yeah.
Every FA Cup game apart from Watford Palace?
But really, that was Wolves' game, wasn't it?
It
looks like a
complete consolation.
But they didn't sweep it at all.
That's
and
right.
You wonder whether once the... I might be underselling Solskjaer, but even when the sort of bounce, the feel-good factor sort of disappears, and it's like, yeah, he was one of our own, and he's great, and he harks back to a great era and all this kind of stuff. But ultimately, as we said before, just not being Jose Mourinho isn't a plan.
Mm, yeah.
It's worked so far, but Nuno, who's decent coach, I think, and quite well respected, he's changed it up. They were far better in the second half, and it didn't really feel like United could react. It felt like a couple of their midfield players sort of checked out a little bit, really.
Actually, so tell you what with Santo, like, I know you can say that Wolves have spent money and they've got good players, but my goodness, he's taken to the Premier League, has he?
He's done well, yeah.
I know that was the FA Cup, but you get the point. Because, you know, Fulham spent a load of money, you know, you can look at so many other examples. He is really taken very well to the league. It's very impressive.
It is. I mean, because they, as we've said before, throughout the season, they've clearly got an identity. You know how what their plan A is. Mm-hmm. They have a very, very distinct style, which they generally use. But there is also a plan B, as we saw at the weekend. And they look like they've been there for years, don't they?
I know.
They look like... I mean, I think Wolves have always... underachieved, generally, not always underachieved, but they are a very, very big club with a history that's significant. And I feel like, you know, looking at them now, it's almost like the club that they always should have been. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean. For so many years, they were in the second tier and were always just missing out on
they came
promotion.
Up to the Premier League in 2003.
Yeah, they did come up. Time. And it was a case of they finally did it.
Sponsored by Doritos.
Ooh. Yeah, so, Alex Ray was running things.
Oh, I'll tell you,
he was excellent that season.
One way you could give Nuno credit, I think, is if you look at some of the players that that they've had that he's improved, they didn't sign for big money. So Connor Cody's done brilliantly.
Absolutely.
And he was there before.
Ryan Bennett.
Absolutely. Doherty as well. Mm-hmm. And also, something we should definitely highlight, João Moutinho cost £5 million.
That's an unbelievable.
And he's got 100 odd caps for Portugal. He's an elite, top quality senior pro at 32. Yeah. He still looks good.
Yep.
Can operate in that midfield nicely. He's got everything. Nothing phases him. And if you put a player like that into a newly promoted side, it just gives everyone a bit of a lift because they think, do you know what? Follow his example. He's not going to be fazed by this. And I think you can go back to when they drew with Man City in the Premier League, 1-1, and they went for it.
Yep,
and they've maintained this attacking style pretty much the whole season. It's not always been brilliant. I mean, they've had some poor results. Haven't they lost twice to Huddersfield this season?
I can't remember.
They've had a couple of negative results anyway. Yeah. But overall, they've stuck to their plan and they've done well. Now they're in the semi-final of an FA Cup. they're probably going to, they might even finish best of the rest.
Well, Jota might get a call up yeah. to Portugal.
Yeah. but you're right to highlight the likes of Moutinho, because we know he's a good player, Mono, but they signed him from what, Monaco, was it?
Mm. Yes.
Monaco. Okay, so he moves, and I'm not being a knob here. You go from Monaco to Wolverhampton, they are very different places.
Yeah.
Very different. I mean, let's be honest, most places are different to Monaco.
Well, same as, what's his name, coming from Benfica? From
exactly. Lisbon to Wolverhampton. There is a culture shock there. You don't have the sunshine. You don't have this, that, and the other. You've got to keep those players interested, because Moutinho, he could turn up and just think, you know what, I'm a long way from home, I'm 32, do I fancy it? You know, what about the Chinese league and all the rest of it? You've got to make sure the player takes individual responsibility, of course, but you've got to make sure that their desire is there. You've got to make sure that their hunger's there and whatnot. And I presume Santo has played a part in that. And as I say, the individual does as well. And people often talk about that, about Cristiano Ronaldo, the desire to still keep going. Yeah. And you've got to have that. You've got to create it all. And he has done that quite magnificently.
They've done a lot of work there. I was up at Molineux earlier in the season, and they showed me around and all that kind of stuff. And they've done almost, it's similar to what, you know, Shakhtar got a lot of Brazilian players.
That's right.
It's like a real community around there.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
A couple of Portuguese cafes that have popped up and they're spotted in there from time to time.
Did you have a natter, did you? I don't mean a chat, I mean one of the Portuguese customers.
I can't remember, but I probably did, yeah. Yeah. If there was one in the room and I was in there, I would have had one.
I'll be
sure. So they've done really well. They've got a plan. They're going to invest more money. They're here to stay. It's been a great return for them. If everything finishes now and they get knocked out in the semis and they finish 7th or 8th or whatever, that's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, Watford will be pleased that they avoided Man City, but I think they'd have rather Brighton than Wolves, of course.
Oh, Grassi has done a good job as well, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's staying in that job and sort of, you know.
Yeah, he's the longest serving manager at Watford since Solar, I think, in 2012.
I was going to say, what are the board thinking? They're like, normally we look to change it up, we get a bit bored. Yeah. But they're probably going to have to keep him.
They gave him a new Connie.
Indeed, yeah. Unlike Paul Scholes, of course, who the ex-Man United man was in charge of Oldham for 31 days, apparently informing the owner of his decision by text message. He wasn't happy with the working conditions. But Solskjaer has invited Paul Scholes to have a chat with him.
Yeah, it's a funny one, this, isn't it? Because the chairman has hit back and said that, claimed that Scholes had all the control that he needed, and it was obviously very frustrating to not even have any of these issues raised before he sort of ended it all by text, which, regardless of what's going on behind the scenes, like, resigning by a text, that does seem unprofessional.
It does.
Isn't
it? Well, you talk about unprofessionalism, but, like, the team were asked to, like, wash their own kit, there were bailiffs turning up, they didn't have electricity some days and stuff. So,
I was going to say,
I mean, that is lower league football at its worst, and Paul Scholes has got a taste
I think,
how life is.
I think the way
the lower
that
leagues.
Oldham and the fans have expressed their opinions about the running of the club, so on and so forth, I understand resigning over text is a bit poor, but I would suggest that Scholes probably has a fair point.
What you've got to ask yourself is this: why has a man who has been a fan of the club since he was a kid, who talks in glowing terms about wanting to go there and how he's always wanted to end his career there and manage there.
Wanted the manager.
What's gone on there to make a diehard fan of the club send a text message to the owner saying, I can't come back?
Yeah,
that owner's been there 5 minutes and he's been an absolute shambles. So
exactly.
you have to fill in the blanks yourself. But I've heard journalists say that, as Pete's just mentioned there, it's been ridiculous down there what's going on. So I'm sure it will come out in the wash.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, speaking of ex-Man United men, did you see David Moyes recently said that when they were trying to get Gareth Bale, I think when he signed for Real Madrid.
Right.
Was he at Real Madrid? I forget. They were trying to get Gareth Bale. I mean, he's been linked to that club for ages. He said they had a helicopter ready and waiting to go and get him for the deal. And I thought, that's lovely, that is it. And I thought to myself, it may have been when he signed for Real Madrid and they were trying to get in there. But I did think to myself, like, was it under Mourinho at Real Madrid when Bale was like, this is like the last chopper out of Saigon. Get me out of here.
The only way Gareth Bale's going to sign for Man United is if it turns into a golf club. Put it that way.
Excellent stuff. All right, after the break, we're going to go to the Premier League. See you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Pickford comes out of his goal and takes a look at the cat. The cat looks at Pickford.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with PDD.
Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bad bees.
I wish software and devices and stuff still said, you've got mail.
You've got mail. Hello, Luke.
That feels like a much more innocent part of the internet.
It'd be excruciating if you, like, every time you opened it, though.
Lots
you've
of emails
got mail.
Sent
every time you got an email, yeah.
Lots of emails are sent these days. Could just say you've got mails. That might be something different, actually.
You've got emails.
Just a quick one. Daniel Cross has created. Basically, he's had some free time on his hands since moving to Stockholm, Sweden, from Manchester in early March. And having enforced parental leave for 3 months hasn't really helped my situation either. Got to do something while the baby sleeps that isn't listening to the Football Ramble. Anyway, being a long-time listener, I'm obviously aware of the unadulterated joy Kevin Keegan brings to the table, especially for Marcus. I did some digging to try and find a collection of all of Keegan's antics / quotes, but it's either sparse or it's not collated. So with that in mind, and with an attempt to make a claim for the Ramble's official web developer, I knocked up a quick little app that returns random Kevin Keegan quotes, including videos, around 52 in total at the moment.
An app. Wow, that's
an
great
app. So if you want to find it, it's at GitHub link. I'll give you a quick link. Daniel-cross.github.io/Keegan.
Love that.
That's incredible.
So if you
love
want to
that.
Check that out, it's...
Can you not download it from the App Store?
It's pretty good. No. It's,
not been approved.
Obviously, it's a Keegan one.
Crashes.
Why would it? Why would it? Why isn't my... Oh, here we go.
Takes all the money out of your bank account. So
install it. Viruses everywhere.
Yeah. I'm having problems with my...
Oh, Peter.
My yeah, it's because of the Keegan thing. As soon as you mentioned Keegan, the whole system's away. Gone to pop.
Ali Jones has got in touch. Don't expect this to be read out, but as the subject line asks... Who hurt you, Pete? What is your problem with West Ham, man? Were you an ex-West Ham fan? Did some fans insult you? Yes, we may have been poor at Cardiff, but we've done pretty well this season with a huge injury list, new manager, plenty of new players, new style of play, etc., etc. Is it because we beat you? Are you jealous of our spend? What is it, my friend?
Are you jealous of our spend?
The others don't slag us off when we've beaten them. Not that it happens often, but you said we were awful when we beat you a couple of weeks ago. We barely got out of first gear. And then, what I like about that is, after they got nearly beaten at the weekend, just a quick one, Pete, I appreciate West Ham were awful today, so I'm ready for the gubbing I'm about to get. But we did win from 3-1 down.
Yeah.
Who was
is that
says,
when he sobered up for the second one?
Yeah, I reckon
I've
so,
never
yeah.
heard the question, are you jealous of our spend?
Spend.
Imagine that like, you get an extension put on the back of your house, go to your neighbour. You like that? Or are you jealous of
jealous
our spend?
Of our spend.
Yeah. Spend Goran Eriksson.
Hello to
oh my God, Marcus. That was the most crowbarred one ever.
I love Dreadful. It.
One day we will have a new presenter. Yeah. And he will not do this, all right?
Yeah. Spend Goran Eriksson.
Other side, mate. Yeah. They'll never catch me.
Can you think of another one? I can't think of another one.
Din.
Nicholas Spentner.
Din.
Stop it. And you stop encouraging him.
No.
No.
Dane has got in touch. Hi, chaps. Thanks for the mention on the podcast. I'm the Newcastle fan who drove 110 miles to roast the Everton fan at the door. Just for the record.
Right. Is he?
Just for the record, it was my uncle, not my son. And I do have a phone now, so I can call him next time.
I'm not sure that's him.
I did text him and call him originally, but he declined to answer or reply, hence the trip, winky face. Keep up the good work, lads.
The Ramble's tentacles stretch everywhere.
Or do
not
they?
Marcus
thinks it's a fraud.
Would be the first time.
Yeah, are you a Dane Truther?
I don't know.
That was literally you thinking about the word spend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's
disgusting.
Oh, I think I've got another one.
Have you what?
I think I've got another one. Right. Leander Spendonker. Wasn't worth it, was it?
No. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, short the football ramble. Dot spend.
So don't go to that address. That's the Keegan.
That's the Keegan IO.
Yeah, your computer will blow up.
What does IO stand for, Pete?
I don't know. Input output maybe. I don't know.
All right,
could be. Premier League. Premier League
still carried on, didn't it?
Well, let's talk about that West Ham and Huddersfield match, eh? My goodness,
Huddersfield were no match for West Ham's spend in the end.
Indeed, no. Jim, the spend came out on top. Fair to say, the marking was a bit slack on Bakuna's goal.
I agree with that, but I think that Jan Sievert is like an underrated guy in the Premier League. He's not going to be here much longer, but I think we're going to miss him. He was absolutely fuming after this game. And it's about the third time he's been fuming this season. Last week you said he went on a big rant about how the only player he actually thought was worth a damn was the 18-year-old kid making his debut. I mean, I understand you're 3-1 up away from home. And you lose 4-3. He is intense, Yancey. Much more intense than he gets credit for.
Yeah, we'll see, won't we? I mean, they may well want to keep him. I don't know. But when Huddersfield went 3-1 up, the celebrations in the corner were... I understand they're quite jubilant. They're away from home and it was a great goal and whatnot. But it felt like it was too much. Mm. And you could see old Jan was saying, get back. Come on, back to the halfway line. You're celebrating as if you've just killed the game off and it's a big match in the cup final or something. It's like, hey, we've done it. Now, don't get me wrong, that second Grant goal was a beauty. Mm. It was a lovely one. And I understand the sort of the release of, we're scoring goals and we're having a moment of enjoyment in the Premier League.
You're celebrating like you've only won one game since November. It's not acceptable.
So I do get it a little bit, but... But that attitude...
It came back to haunt him, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can't give. I mean, as old as he is and as sort of... I mean, he's not an improving player, of course, but you cannot give Javier Hernandez that sort of space in the penalty area. I think he's got 52 Premier League goals this season, all from inside the penalty area.
That was it, wasn't it? On the
this season.
Yeah, this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, against Huddersfield.
He's massively gone under the radar, Jim.
Yeah.
That header was as close to going under a radar as he can, I suppose.
Yeah, Lossell turned off his radar.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I know players get tired and there's lots going on and we've all played football matches where, you make mistakes, of course, but it's almost a bit like, okay, the ball's about to come into your own penalty area. You know it's about to come in. Mm. He's the most potent striker. It's not like he's not being marked very well and it's like a bad job and he's got a jump on him or a run on him. There's no one within 6 yards of the guy.
You're basically holding the door open for
him. Why is there no communication? I mean, obviously, that's why Huddersfield are in the position they're in. I think they had scored 15 goals all season coming into this game. It's called three. You score three goals, you should win the football match. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, crazy. So, yeah, great shame for them, but West Ham dug it out. I think a lot of West Ham fans, from what I could see on the highlights, left before the end, which is understandable, so they missed out.
They had furious emails to write.
Yeah, exactly. and I'll say this. I am jealous of their spend, but I will go on to say that they deserve a lot of credit. Pellegrini deserves a lot of credit this season. They were an absolute circus last year, as I've said before, and I know they've been a bit inconsistent with their results, but there's a lot of calmness around that club now. There's not protests and all that stuff isn't going on. They're obviously together enough to battle back to win 4-3 after being 3-1 down. So, I think he's done a good job and I hope he can kick on with them next season because they'll probably spend more money, won't they, in the summer?
You would expect so, yeah.
Marcus,
yeah.
What's your favourite Jimmy Nail character?
Jimmy Nail?
Spender.
Yeah.
Another one for the teenagers, Pete.
Yeah. She's lying.
Don't want nobody else. I love you.
She's lying.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one?
I do now.
Let's do Crocodile Shoes.
Crocodile Spend. Leicester City beat Burnley 2-1. Great win for Leicester.
Despite England's Rose best efforts, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, well, it was a very bad result for Burnley. I mean, they're only 2 points above Cardiff in 18th, having played a game more than Warnock's men. And they've played a match more than Southampton, who are also on 30 points as well.
and two more than Brighton, who are on 33. So Burnley very much in the relegation scrap. You thought to yourself when they put that great run together, was it the start of the year, around then? You thought, all right, now Burnley of last season are coming out and whatnot. And I still think they'll be okay. But when they're playing Leicester, who go down to 10 men after 4 minutes.
Such an opportunity, isn't it?
It really is.
Home as well.
I know. And even if they got a point, but for crying out loud, losing it in the last minute, that is a damning one. But Maddison scored a great free kick, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Lovely one.
He's been patchy of late, hasn't he? As we discussed a little while ago, so that's an important performance for him, especially with Big Brendy coming in.
Yeah. He's a great player. He could be, if he sticks around, he could be one of the founding fathers of the new Brendan Rodgers regime.
Founding fathers, yeah. Love that. Yeah. Did you think, McGuire was last man, I understand. It was one of those unlucky ones that it looked unintentional, where he's kind of running and unintentionally.
It's one of those ones where the laws of the game are as they are, but in that situation, it seems almost impossibly harsh because he's not meant to foul him.
No.
And yeah, he has fouled him.
But his actions have brought the player down.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's
a
denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity outside the penalty.
But does anyone think that's not a sending off? Or it shouldn't be?
No, I think it's a shame that it is, but it is.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the rules updated?
The difference here is because old Hazard Maguire has done that kind of half by just clumsiness, really, isn't he? So if you relax the laws, and someone can basically do that deliberately for a booking, then that's a problem, isn't it? I think it probably is the right law.
And otherwise, you're getting into the weird sort of territory of where the referee has to decide whether the player meant to do it or not.
True. Yeah.
I preferred it when Harry Maguire used to ride unicorns in swimming pools last summer.
That was his best era.
Just on the Burnley thing, they started really poorly this season, didn't they? Because they had the Europa League and that complicated things. And you're right, they went on that run, and now they've lost four Premier League games in a row now. They've got three games coming up that they need to get points out of: Wolves at home, Bournemouth away, and Cardiff at home. After that, their running is Chelsea away, Man City at home, Everton away, Arsenal at home. So
tricky.
You could feasibly see them not picking up any points from those last four games. And if they don't do that, they're in big trouble.
Do you think Cardiff and Warnock are going
to... I think they might do it,
Well, they've got Chelsea at home next, which is an unfortunate one to be your game in hand at this point.
But Everton thought that, though.
Well, quite. But I feel like they might,
Jim, Burnley v Cardiff on the 13th of April is the big game. Mm. That's the big game. I think
as we've been saying all season.
Yeah, exactly. I've been looking forward to it since August.
Yeah, what are Sky Sports doing for that one?
Oh.
Parades, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. Roger said that Wes Morgan epitomises the humble attitude of the group. Until he got a round of applause when he came in the dressing room. I love that because they defended very, very well. Rode their luck ever so slightly, but again, down to 10 men, that's going to happen. And then to go up the other end and score the winner late doors. Delightful. Bloody delightful. Before we go to an ad break, after which we'll talk about the championship and the WhatsApp group, we've got to mention Matt Ritchie's goal, Pete Donaldson.
Ooh.
Another late goal, scoring for Newcastle into the roof of the net against his old club. He started celebrating because he thought, yes, I've saved us and we've got a point. Oh, yes, I'm at my old club. I should start apologising.
Well, he was applauded when he was taking the corners and stuff, and then that kind of soon turned to jeers when they went 2-1 up.
He celebrated more than Ryan Barbell did.
He was unbelievably, he just wasn't marked at all, and I think he's had a bit of a patchy season, Matt Ritchie, but lashing a ball top left,
lovely.
It was fantastic. And I think the disparity between how good the goal was compared to how much he celebrated was quite
He
did start celebrating, and he's like, I'm really annoyed, I can't really celebrate.
That's annoying, we've got a point.
Yeah, and he had to really want that goal as well because he was closed down, there was not much space to operate, and it was a great finish.
Lash.
I thought Ryan Babel was surprising.
What was that about?
He hasn't played for them for about 8 years.
And then when he did, it wasn't a match made in heaven, was it?
My favourite thing about it was the player that he tried to, when players don't celebrate, they try to get other players around to stop making them celebrate.
He
did that to Virgil van Dijk. I'm not happy about this, mate, to be honest.
I've caused that. So
I know we need the points, but you probably need them more because you want to win the league.
I'll tell you what, a winner for Liverpool, and it was a penalty. I mean, I don't rate Sergio Rico. So I don't know how he's kept his place in that Fulham goal. I know there's been injuries, but the point I was going to make was that is a massive goal for Liverpool.
Huge.
Getting pegged back. Yeah. Like
in those conditions as well, because the heavens opened.
Yeah.
Virgil van Dijk looked miserable in that rain.
A couple of people were saying that mistake between van Dijk and Alisson, whoever you want to blame, is that the Gerrard slip
moment. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Is it one of those?
It was Milner at the first place. I wonder if Milner sliced the ball right up in the air.
Yeah, he did. Well, he made
it
up for
it. It was a catalogue of errors.
It was a vital penalty. I love the way Milner took that penalty as well. It was a bit like, I think, Harry Kane took his against Colombia for England.
Yeah.
Where you
curve your foot, but you hit it with your heel.
Yeah, but and it goes straight down the middle. Yeah. Because that's so hard for a keeper, because a keeper will be checking, is he going to open up his body? Is he going to close off his body, depending on whether it's going to go right or left? And when you do it like that, it's so well disguised going down the middle.
It's a technically amazing penalty, because if you watch it again in slow motion, I know you know because you've seen it, but if you guys didn't see it that closely, he curves his foot like he's whipping it into the bottom left.
That's right.
But he hits it with the heel.
So
the foot looks the same, but the ball goes straight.
And the body shape as well. You are really disguising that quite well. And the keeper will be, surely will be thinking it's going to go right or left. Because Milner...
He didn't need to look, because it was Sergio Rico in goal, but...
Well, but still.
Yeah. He's our best penalty taker.
Yeah.
He lost his head.
Shane Ferguson.
Indeed, yeah.
There was an interesting piece in The Independent today about how everything that Liverpool do is through this microscope of it regarding their bottle. Which I don't think other teams have, and like not everything is necessarily mental strength, and I think that's an interesting thing for that they actually can sort of point to themselves and go, look, yeah, I mean, this isn't applied to any other team, let's just keep doing what we're doing.
Spurs.
Spurs. But they don't even need to get that into it, do they? I mean, they're Spurs at home next, haven't they? So that's a tough game, but they've just got, I know it sounds ridiculously simple, but they've just got to win their games. I mean, they've got games which are eminently winnable. Their last four games, Cardiff away, Huddersfield at home, Newcastle away, Wolves at home. I mean, you win all those four games and you're in a position where if you win them, you've won the league. I mean, you take that all day long.
Well, we said for a while, didn't we, that Liverpool would rather be chasing than in the lead. And of course, that you can say that quite happily when Liverpool did have a little bit of a lead and now they're behind you. Oh, are they going to throw it away? But actually, you know, again, would they have taken that at the start of the season, 1 point behind Man City? Oh, well, you know, if Man City win their game and so on, but relying on Man City to drop points is tricky.
And their game in hand is at home to Cardiff, and they've won 19 out of the last 20 games in all competitions. Yeah.
But it's fascinating. It's great that we've got a title race on.
So their only defeat has been against Pete Donaldson's Newcastle United.
Well, that'll happen, won't it? That will happen. All right. After the break, we're going to go to the Championship and the WhatsApp group.
Hi Marcus, thank you for being an Aston Villa fan. Really appreciate the support. And yes, Sven-Goran Eriksson was a great England manager. Up the Villa.
Sven-Goran Eriksson. Yeah.
Get it right.
We were quite fortunate, Pete, to get in there, or you rather, get in there when he was only 30 quid for a message.
Yeah, he upped it straight after, didn't he?
50 quid.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, people actually do this.
The market demands it. Well, there must have been a flurry.
It must have been.
Andy Gray's on it now, isn't he?
Is he?
I believe so, yeah.
No, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. You're not allowed to mention any commercial stuff away, so you can't get the same thing.
We'll get him.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Last time Wolves won a major league. Major league?
Wolves playing the major league?
I think so.
Major League Soccer?
It was in 1980. Yes. Nottingham Forest League Cup final, Andy Gray with the only goal.
There you go. The thing about Andy Gray, which is really annoying, was that he's actually really good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. As a footballer.
Who me, Richard?
Yeah, aye, Richard. Me, you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
What's up?
Sorry, I've done the
WhatsApp
too early. I always get criticised for not pressing the button soon
enough. Will someone please think of Joshua Gibson?
Aye, champion. And now we go to the Championship.
Joshua Gibson, Marcus.
You are unbelievable. People think...
Get away your job.
People...
That's rich. That is rich.
I'm trying to move the show along.
Stages of coup.
Marcus, he's just trying to move the show along, mate. By putting the wrong bits in.
Well, people get annoyed that I don't put the jingle in, so I'll just chuck it in whenever I want.
I will, yeah.
What would anyone think about Liverpool's game against Spurs next week? Sorry, Pete, I'm just trying to move the show along, mate.
Right, the preview show will be out on Thursday. Our best better is on for the first ever Ramble hat-trick and the much-coveted Order of the Ramble Empire.
Yeah, Joshua Gibson, two best bets with Bet365 in a row.
Good
because
boy.
West Ham turned it around. Both teams have scored and West Ham beat Huddersfield.
I thought he was struggling there.
He was, big time. the Twitter was delicious. There's people out there who love to glory in other people's failure.
Yeah. I know, and it's a failure for charity, by the way, guys. So get behind the best bets.
I had a bit of a lovely time replying to them.
I'm sure you did.
So anyway, that happened. Tune in on Thursday. Do not miss it because Joshua's going to go for his hat-trick. And it could be the first ever. We haven't even established a prize yet.
Or rank.
We'll be running around.
Is it MRE?
O-R-E.
O-R-E.
We go in order of the Ramble. No, but you've got to figure out which order.
Okay, we'll do that between now and Thursday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. You're not a commander.
No, okay. No way is he getting a CBE or a knighthood. No. Not at this stage. If he gets five, maybe, then we'll start talking.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes up, does it, every time?
Tuesday on Thursday.
I'm really tense. I'm quite tense about this. Whenever it gets to two, I'm like, oh, what do we do?
Some people are starting to work out that Joshua Gibson is an anagram of Pete Donaldson. The plot thickens.
The plot thickens. Right. Let's go to the Championship, where the plot couldn't be thicker. Leeds lost at home to Sheffield United. A massive win for Chris Wilder's boys. What a win.
Goal from the Beano's Chris Basham.
Exactly. Old Basham got the only goal. I bet we saw a goal, an outfield player going goal.
As soon as it happened, everyone was on the WhatsApp going, there's a player in the goal.
Not for long enough. And have a shot on target.
I know. Yeah, although Sheffield United were just seeing out the game at that point, because it was only the last few minutes when Pontus Janssen donned the gloves. I think he got injured, didn't he? I think he's injured.
Is he really? Yeah. Marcelo Bielsa was absolutely fuming.
Oh, his post-match was brilliant.
To the point where the post-match interview just didn't know what to do and just ended the interview. And then Bielsa still stood there with his through his translator saying, come back.
What I loved about PowerPoint. That was, if you didn't see it, the interviewer leapt on the fact that Bielsa, some misunderstand where he thought Bielsa had said that Leeds deserved to win the game. He said, well, if you deserve to win the game, what do you think sort of went wrong? And Bielsa basically kept going, what do you think then? Well, what do you think the issue is? And he kept trying to move it on. And I love the translator was really steely as well. He's like, no, he's asking you. What do you think?
Although I'm acting as a go-between, I am very much on his side.
Yeah.
Look at my eye contact for confirmation.
To be fair to Bielsa, I mean,
I thought the reporter handled him quite well, actually. Because the reporter said, because Bielsa was saying, well, what did you think of the game? And he went, well, I'm impartial, I'm not here to give my opinion. So
well, I know, but and it's then he very said, snide of him to then throw that little grenade at him in the first place, isn't
it?
What,
the reporter?
Yeah.
I suppose so, yeah, I see what you mean.
But he could have just said, well, I thought it was a really even game, it was a great competition, I enjoyed watching it. He could have been more enthusiastic. The idea is to get answers out the manager, not to sort of throw your rat out.
Well, when the... I didn't think he threw his rattle out.
He terminated it early.
Only because Bielsa, after about the fourth or fifth question, was still saying, I'm not answering that. What do you think of the game?
Let Bielsa be Bielsa. All right. Okay. But I do think Bielsa's got a point. They had 70% possession.
Yeah.
And they had almost twice as many shots.
They were unlucky on another day. Sheffield United have kept so many clean sheets recently. It's quite amazing.
He's done a fantastic job.
Since they conceded that those three goals against Aston Villa away, which was a bad result for Sheffield United, because I think they were 3-0 up. They've registered 7 clean sheets, and that includes away trips, obviously, Leeds, West Brom and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's been very, very impressive. However, they did ride their luck a little bit against Leeds. There was a few chances and whatnot. But what a win that is for Sheffield United.
I think Wilder's done so well. If he gets into the Premier League, he'd have earned his right to be there. I'd like to see how Oliver Norwood would get on in the Premier League, given another chance at it, because it didn't work out for him so well last time. I'd hate for him to be stuck in the Huckabee zone. He could probably move beyond that. He's been great for them. Stuckabee in the Huckabee.
At the library.
It was a game where it was a game where there was so much at stake, and it was quite a dramatic affair because of that. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, really good. And Aston Villa themselves are in the playoff spot. They beat Middlesbrough 3-0.
Hi, Marcus.
Something that we could all get behind. They're on 57 points. Preston, Derby, Bristol City and Sheffield Wednesday and Nottingham Forest.
Shitfield Wednesday, did you get
really?
Shitfish
Wednesday.
What did I say?
Shitfish Wednesday.
Did you have a bad Friday night fish supper there? Yeah. Oh, shitfish, no fans.
I beg your pardon.
You've been out as a Blades fan, yeah? In glowing terms about
I used to have a Sheffield Wednesday kid. I used to quite like Sheffield Wednesday, so quite the opposite, really.
Why are you calling them shitfish then?
Do you know what? I have no idea. Bastard North End, Derby, I won't do that one. Bristol City, Sheffield Wednesday and Nottingham Forest, they're all in contention for those playoff spots.
Well, Aston Villa have made their move, There was talk before. I remember
because Jack Grealish has come back and impressed, and he is leading
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going into the second City Derby. There was a lot of talk before the game was, look, if Aston Villa wanted to have any chance of getting in the playoffs, they've got to make their move now. And obviously they won at Birmingham, and we saw what happened. Since Grealish has come back, he's been excellent. He was probably a bit quiet in the last game, I think, but he was back to form again against Middlesbrough.
Was he a bit quiet against Birmingham?
I mean, he sort of got adverse circumstances, I'd say. But Middlesbrough are a team who don't concede an awful lot. That's how they're set up, right?
Well, they're still fifth, I think.
Yeah, then they're doing okay. But Villa have got so many goals in their team. Many goals. And McGinn's been brilliant. Grealish has been brilliant. Abraham's led the line well. So, I mean, it's really packed with quality at the top of that division, and I would like to see about five of them go up.
Well, I know what you mean. There's so many clubs down there where you think, I mean, they really are equipped for the Premier League. I mean, Villa, they are a Premier League side. They know this, of course. They were unlucky. They were a whisker away playoff final, of course, last year. But if they go up, that you would think they would have the infrastructure, they would be able to sign players and whatnot. And they've got some experience in there. There's a few international caps. There's a bit of Premier League
They just need to be back in the Premier League because they lost a lot of money. They're a big club.
And also, having just missed out last season, it's difficult to pick yourself up sometimes again for another season in the Championship with players who have played in the Premier League, and you think to yourself, oh, bloody hell. And John Terry was there last season, so he's not there now. I know he was ageing, but he was still a crucial player for them. So, but they've done very well.
Marcus, you've also got that. It's a crazy situation because you've got... We know what Frank Lampard's doing at Derby. Mm. Steve Bruce has started off like an absolute house on fire at Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. They're now 2 points off top six, as you said. Middlesbrough are doing well. Leeds, Sheffield United and Norwich are flying. Mm-hmm. Absolutely flying. It's going to be two from three there. You've got teams all the way down probably to just about Birmingham who have lost their last four in a row. But if they turn that around, they're only 7 points off it. You know, and there's whatever there is, eight games left or whatever. Teams like Swansea and Stoke, just they're also runs now.
I know.
Even though you think at the start of the season, Stoke would have been probably favourites. Mm-hmm. And they'd have had a difficult time. It's just packed with quality everywhere. All the way down the Championship, pretty
much.
And
we have to say as well, West Brom, I think, have won, both games since Darren Moore?
They have, a couple of times.
You know, I was a bit annoyed with the board when they sacked him, but if it works out for them.
Yeah. Imagine if, like, Leeds, Villa and Wednesday go up. That's retro.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Retro.
Lovely stuff. Big Yorkshire representation in the Premier League, it could be. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Pete, get ready, because now it is time for the WhatsApp group, all right?
Yeah, time for the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
No.
Yes, we have. We've already heard it.
Yes. Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody. A couple of things that I quite enjoyed. Eric Dyer tweeting in response to Spurs drawing Man City in the Champions League by saying, "No visas," with a smirky face emoji. Yeah.
Surely that's... I sort of wonder about, I guess, with...
It's to do with Brexit, that, if you don't know.
Is he
really that aware?
He's an arch Remainer, mate.
He's very aware. Tweeted hashtag people's vote recently, isn't
he?
Come on, Peter.
Sorry, I don't keep up with the machinations of Eric Dyer's political stances.
Just because he's not up on the march with your lot up in the North East. 68
Oh, God, that looked good, didn't it? Yeah. That put the North East in a good light, didn't it?
I think we should get what we said we were going to get.
Not even the weather could put them in a good light, literally.
It looked like the end of the world. And let's just leave it there. It looked like the scene where they go through this, whatever it's called, the swamp at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. The irony being, they look like refugees.
There we go. Eric Dyer's on board with the Remain vote.
I just sort of wonder about
passport renewal and stuff like that. Is there any things in a footballer's life that they have to be present for? Because visas you can do via forms and sending them away and stuff like that. Well, does a player liaison have to look after all the players' passports? Because let's face it, they can't be trusted.
Interesting. Bit rich. Interestingly enough, I had to renew my driving license last week, and I didn't even have to send a photo because they've got it on file.
Oh.
So they probably, the renewal of the passport
are
probably the same. Hey, maybe.
Don't worry, Morsy.
Oh, it's you, is it?
Don't worry, Lukey. This one's on us.
Did they just digitally aid you?
Yeah. I did it myself.
Oh, dear. Talking of transport, Arsene Wenger was spotted in North London getting on the 326 bus.
Classic. Yeah. Finchley to Brent Cross, if I remember rightly.
You might be right.
It is. It's Finchley Central, yeah.
Finchley Cent, as we call it in the business, on the streets.
It goes to Brent Cross Shopping Centre, Pete, correct? I've just checked.
Damn right.
Good on you, mate.
Well, you didn't need to check because I'm all over it.
I wonder if he was going to Brent Cross.
What do you think of Big Veng? He's probably... Spengder.
he'll have his bus pass, won't he?
And I love that.
He likes to keep the costs down. But you know
what? The photo was like he was looking around, looking at the person going, well, I'm just getting on a bus. Why are you looking at me?
To the Emirates.
But I find it weird that... someone of Wenger's level of fame would do that.
No, I like that.
I like it.
Maybe he's a socialist. He's like public transport.
But when we had,
I'm the only one who gets a bus home from the live shows, boys.
When we had Carlos Carvalho,
he won't pay for the tube. It's a different reason.
That's not true. I'm talking about Ubers and taxis.
Also, I do.
Yeah. When we had Carlos, can I make a point?
I've been on a bus.
Yeah. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to... I've got to go to Wembley now and I can't get public transport. It's just too much hassle. And that was Carlos Carvalho saying.
Yeah.
Wenger's several magnitudes above that.
Yeah.
I saw him at an airport recently.
Yeah, and we saw him in a hotel
transport
as well.
Yeah.
But airport, you've got very much choice, haven't you? Unless you're sort of doing everything with your private jet, like Iron Maiden, you're really going to have to go to the departure line at some point.
Interesting. What about this? FIFA have approved a new Club World Cup tournament. Are you excited?
I'm confused.
Yeah, it is a little bit confusing, but let me try and explain it here. Now, the current Club World Cup, of course, happens every winter between seven teams, with the Champions League winners, the European Champions League winners, playing in the semi-final. So they go straight to the semi-final. The other teams from the other continents battle it out, and then obviously if the Champions League side wins the semi-final or their semi-final, they go to the final, of course. We've seen Real Madrid clean up in that tournament recently, as they do. But the new tournament that FIFA have approved will involve 24 teams. It will be played in June and July, and it will be once every 4 years. So essentially, it is a Club World Cup.
Right.
Whereas the current one is sort of a bit of a funny little club tournament.
But the problem is, surely they can't have it. June and July is fine, because that's obviously when the big European leagues aren't playing. But there's going to be clubs in from different parts of the world where their leagues are going to be playing at that time.
Yeah. I don't think FIFA care, mate.
No, I completely agree they don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so the new one, there'll be 8 teams from Europe, 6 from South America, 3 each from Africa, Asia, CONCACAF and Oceania. And the president of FIFA, of course, Gianni Infantino, said the tournament will replace the current Club World Cup and the Confederations Cup. So the international tournament, the Confederations World Cup, which would happen the year before the World Cup, that will be replaced by this thing, the Club World Cup.
So it has to. So that will be the warm-up event for the following World Cup, because that's what the Confederations Cup is, right?
Yeah, I think FIFA have probably wanted their version of the Champions League for a while.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Club World Cup, they realised that Europe aren't really interested in it. And Europe is where they want the interest from.
The problem is they always get these competitions. So, like, if they just offered it to terrestrial television and went, look, you can have this for cheap, but it has to be on your, has to be front and centre, it has to be on ITV or the BBC, it has to be seen by people. People will give a shit. But the problem is it ends up on paid for TV platforms, and the only people who actually watch it are fans of Liverpool or Manchester United or Manchester City, and nobody else gives a shit.
But I think there's a couple more things. One is that's absolutely right, but the second part of that is how much the clubs themselves prioritise it. Because if you get, say Man United go in it, or Liverpool, whatever it is, or Man City from this country, they just send a youth team.
Yeah. And rightly so.
Yeah, people
it's their
aren't.
Pre-season.
Yeah, people aren't going to be interested. Mm. And the third thing is, sometimes it's on like the middle of the night, right? So if it's hosted on the west side of South America or something, or right in the Far East, no one in Europe's going to be able to watch it properly anyway. So, it feels to me that as you've alluded to, Marcus, they're trying to sort of catch up with UEFA and get their version of the Champions League. And really, the Champions League is the big thing now, and they're not really going to usurp that, are they? So anyway, look, it's more football. People will presumably be annoyed, managers and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to think of how players can actually play more without a massive increase in like squad size and all the rest of it. But there we go.
Silly.
Yes.
Silly billies.
Although it could work out well, we were not sure about the UEFA Nations League. And look how
it's
well
true.
Turned out.
Yeah, we've taken that to
clash
our heart.
For it? Is that going to clash? Oh, no, maybe.
Well, if it's every 4 years.
Yeah, I suppose they would do it.
Factored in.
Yeah, don't spoil the UEFA Nations League, lads, for crying out loud. That's going very, very well indeed.
We're champions elect.
Big time.
That.
Big
time. Can we touch briefly on Messi's hat-trick?
Oh, yes, if you want. That goal was unbelievable.
What I liked about it is
attempts that from there.
Suarez scored one of his greatest goals and no one's talking about it.
Is it his 50th hat-trick?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
And Cristiano Ronaldo scores a hat-trick against Atletico. And then Messi scores one in the Spanish league game, and I personally thought there was much more chat about Messi.
I think Messi's scored two since then.
I think he might have done.
That final goal, so it was a free kick, not like one of his better goals, and then that sickening goal at the end. And the fact the opposition fans were up, standing up and applauding. It's just, from one side, it actually looks like the keeper's culpable. Then you look at the other side, he didn't have a
chance.
He didn't have a chance off the bar as well.
The height he gets on it. Absolutely glorious.
He scored 8 goals in his last 6 games, apparently. He scored a hat-trick, then a couple of games against Barcelona where he didn't score, and then a goal against Rayo Vallecano. Two goals and 2 assists against Leon.
Fine.
That's what he did.
Finally,
yeah.
He's, living up to his potential, that young man.
I was thinking on the radio on Friday, I said it, the biggest testament to how much Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo have dominated European football is they've won 9 Champions Leagues between them. Messi's got 4, Ronaldo's got 5, and neither of them have ever played for the same club.
Mm-hmm.
So in 9 separate occasions since they've both been pro, one of their teams has won it. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're not going to fully appreciate it until they're both retired, I'm telling you.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having you, Luke Moore, at the table.
Thank you.
Having you, Pete Donaldson, at the table.
Thank you.
Having you, Jim Campbell, at the table.
Cheers, mate.
And you, ladies and gentlemen, are lovely too. We're all off to get on the 326 bus. See you later.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.